step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia.
James Beattie, oh, Belter! Mané for the hat-trick! That's an unbelievable hat-trick to Sadio Mané! Shane Long takes Southampton to Wembley! Graziano Pelle with a left-foot strike! Walk past Lipsitz and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcasts on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of ITN. I'm Ray. He's Kevin. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
This is episode 136. Title, Mush?
Our Mandalorian.
Our Mandalorian, yes. Sometimes they come easy, sometimes they don't. But I like this. Today, we chat over yesterday's dropped points at home to Burnley. And we'll bring in Tim Bazance to discuss next week's packed schedule as we hit the road to Stamford Bridge in the Cup and Vicarage Road, where we face off against Claudio Ranieri's rejuvenated Watford side. Mush, that's not going to be as easy as we originally thought, is it? 3-2 against Everton at Goodison and still had so much fight in them, and they ended up, you know, with 5. So that was an incredible performance.
Yeah, they were looking good yesterday.
It was a bit of a worry. But what did you make of the Burnley one yesterday?
It's a tough one to take, isn't it? It's just, you know, on the back of such good performances recently, managed to slip into old habits and, classic Saints.
Classic Burnley too.
It's turned a bit into a ding-dong battle from, you know, a couple of years back. You would have thought it'd be last on match of the day, and now it's a goal fest every season, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, yesterday, I know I predicted 2-0, but I was convinced it was going to be 0-0 as kickoff happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, goal fest it was. But before we get into that, how was everything with you? I mean, I know you weren't here last week. You were on your holidays. And the flat, how's the flat coming along? And I know you're preparing to come back over to the UK for a visit, so it's pretty busy for you at the moment.
Yeah, it's all kicking off, and for work I'm busier than ever. But yeah, I had a nice little sojourn to Croatia last weekend. It's a lot of fun.
It looks lovely. I've always wanted to go to Croatia, and yeah, well, the Adriatic just looks it looks amazing.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot to see. We only stuck around Istria, but further south, you've got Dubrovnik and Split and all those places. They look fantastic too. So maybe I have to go back sometime soon.
Take me with you next time.
Okay.
I don't mean any disrespect to Tim, but I really missed you last week.
Tim did a great job in my absence, by the way. Listen back to the pod. It's entertaining.
Oh, good. Before we get into the news, a quick reminder, if you appreciate what we do and you feel you'd like to buy us a pint, then please head to buymeacoffee.com/in that number. Kevin, should we get into the news?
Let's do it.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, ITN News. Our festive fixtures have been confirmed now. It's looking pretty busy in December then, Kev. 8 games on the slate, 3 of them live, 5 of them at home. Getting into the thick of it now. Let me just run you through those games quickly, starting on the 1st of December against Leicester at home, a 7:30 kickoff. That's on Amazon Prime. And then 3 days later, Saturday the 4th of December, Brighton at home, 3 p.m. kickoff. Saturday the 11th of December, Arsenal away, 3 p.m. kickoff. Wednesday the 15th of December, Palace away, 7:30 kickoff, and that is on BT. What a weird game for BT to broadcast. Palace, yeah. Saints, midweek.
You thought that South Coast derby a fortnight before would be of interest, or
exactly.
Arsenal Saints, that's normally an interesting fixture, isn't it?
But no.
It's a big choice. Maybe it's because of the little ding-dongs between Wilf Saha and James Ward-Prowse.
Yeah, maybe. They might be laughing. And then we continue Saturday the 18th of December, Brentford at home. That's a 3 p.m. kickoff. And then Boxing Day, West Ham away.
It's always West Ham away.
I know. That's another
either last game of the season or Boxing Day.
And it's always a shit show, yeah. And then Tuesday the 28th, just 2 days later, Spurs at home. That's a 3 p.m. kickoff, and that is on Amazon Prime. And then we end off that festive period on Sunday the 2nd of January to Billionaires Newcastle at home. Wow. That's some schedule, Kev. That's 24 points up for grabs there.
So if we get at least 3, it'd be long. I'll probably end up catching St. Spurs.
Oh, you're going to be over here for that?
Why? Yeah, if all goes to plan, then yeah, I'll be over for that. So yeah. Another Christmas time disappointment, probably.
But at least you'll get to see me.
Yeah. Yeah,
you don't sound too excited about that. But hey, I'll let you off. Moving on then, Nigel Adkins, Kev, sacked by Charlton.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him for this one, because they had a good end to the season after he came in. Just missed out on promotion, didn't they? Well, about the playoffs.
Sure, but I mean, it's kind of not surprising really this season, given their poor start. 22nd in the league now, just 9 points from 13, and that's 4 points off of safety, so... You can see that their high-flying status last season to this season, you know, something's got to give, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm always a lot more patient than other fans or the board in this case. I don't understand Watford getting rid of their manager after 8 games or whatever.
No. Well, that's
not sure I understand this one either.
I don't know. That something had to give this one. I think Charlton aren't a team that should be playing 22nd in League One.
That's true.
But, I mean, yeah, it's still early. More bad news, I guess. Ralph fined £20,000 for questioning the integrity of a VAR official following James Ward-Prowse's red card against Chelsea. That VAR official, Kevin?
None other than Mike Dean.
I mean, he was just saying what we were all thinking, though. So.
Exactly. I think, you know, that £20,000, I think, is quite cheap for comments that probably got quite a lot of fans on site and
yeah.
might be the straw that saves his job when push comes to shove.
£20,000 well worth it. I'll take that, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have a whip round and pay for it for him, you know. A little consortium.
I'm sure Ralph's not particularly hard up himself.
No. But, you know, he's not wrong with his comments. And, you know, he accepted the charge. Sometimes you get away with it, sometimes you don't. And you know, the FA member that was deciding that outcome was, let me just check. Yep, it was Mike Dean.
Really?
No,
bang it up.
Of course not.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Well, when we knew that Mike Dean was responsible for this decision, we yeah. knew which way it was going to go. I mean, to be honest, I mean, the comments are quite mild compared to some of the stuff that, you know, Klopp or Ole or big teams come out with, and they don't get them, do they?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Sometimes you get away with it, sometimes you don't. I mean, Pep had a bit of a rant and nothing doing. So maybe it's payment that the FA are giving these top six so they don't join the Super League, because that talk has, you know, stepped up again, hasn't it? So
yeah, so all it takes, I mean, if Ralph wants to declare that Southampton are fed up with playing in this league and want to start a breakaway league, that's fine. But question Mike Dean's integrity.
No. Oh yeah, not at all. So right, we'll go on to the loans then. Kane Ramsey's crew played the entire 90 minutes in crew's 4-0 home loss to Sunderland on Tuesday night, and another loss on Saturday to Wickham Wanderers, an agonising 97th minute winner from Wickham to win 2-1. Ramsey not included in that squad. I could only imagine that he picked up an injury, but nothing on crew Twitter, nothing on the crew website. Absolutely no one's talking about Kane Ramsey, why he was in, why he wasn't in. I have no idea, so I can't bring you any news on that, I'm afraid. But crew are now rock bottom of League One.
Oh, shit indeed.
Dan and Lundaloo's Lincoln lost 1-0 at home to Wimbledon. And he came on the 77th minute with little effect. And then Saturday they drew 1-1 with Sheffield Wednesday at Hillsborough. He came off the bench again, this time in the 79th minute. So there's a clear plan for him. Latest results see Lincoln are 15th in League One. Will Ferry, his Crawley side, lost 3-1 at home to Exeter on Tuesday. Ferry was on the bench, got some action just after the hour mark. And on Saturday, a 2-1 loss at Scunthorpe came off the bench in the dying embers. Crawley are 16th in League Two. It's not been a great week for the loanees, Kev.
No, it doesn't sound that.
No, but it was a good week for the Bees.
Yes.
On Monday, they picked up their first win in the Premier League too, with an away win over Wolves. Kazim Alegbi with the game's only goal. They still remain bottom, 2 points off of Birmingham. And a winnable game at Reading on Monday night at the Madejski Stadium. So that's definitely going to be one to watch tomorrow night, Kevin. I'll keep my eyes on that one. The women's, as mentioned last week, the women, you know, play a big game on Halloween at third place Bridgewater United. Got some crunch games coming up, actually, against Ipswich in the Cup, who are the team that are below them in the league. Actually, they're above them in the league because they played one extra, but they're undefeated. And then they've got Crawley Wasps, too, who are having a good season. So it's a crucial time of the season for them now. So they just need to keep their foot firmly down and keep scoring those goals.
Yeah, come on.
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Okay, then. Burnley, 2-2. A Desmond. Maxwell Cornet giving the visitors the early lead before Tino headed the equaliser. Armando Broya making it 2-2, giving us the deserved lead. But Burnley fighting back with another goal from Cornet. As you mentioned in the build-up, disappointing point, I suppose, but, you know, changes without James Ward-Prowse again, obviously. It continues his 3-match ban, which will end after Tuesday night. One change, Kevin, the only change, Walcott for Gineppo.
Yeah, everyone was really excited about that change.
You not too impressed with it, then?
No, I mean, yeah, Walcott's been off the boil for a while now, hasn't he? So I've seen him including it in the squad over Teller, who had been having a great season at the end of the last season, great pre-season, and fans have been screaming for him to be included. Wasn't good against Chelsea, but yeah, who was?
Well, exactly like Walcott is. Indeed, he hasn't been great for a while, like you said. But Burnley named the oldest average age. Well, their team was the oldest average this season at 29. Walcott's inclusion, I mean, it could have been to add more experience to our side, which is obviously one of the youngest in the league. But Ralph has defended his decision to include Theo, saying Theo is a player who goes in behind, goes deep, goes in the box and spreads the runs in behind. So this is what I was expecting from him. So was Ralph taking inspiration from the John Barnes rap in World in Motion?
I mean, he did Holden gear.
I mean, other than that, Kev, did you like the starting 11? Because I suppose you can't argue because they played so well against Leeds last week. Plus, you know, the added bonus of a strong bench with the likes of Shea, Kyle Walker-Peters, both Armstrongs, Teller, Gineppo. Lots of options if things didn't go to plan.
Yeah, definitely. But again, classic Ralph, left them too late.
Indeed.
I would have hooked off Walcott much earlier.
Yes.
For Armstrong. He's made all the right substitutions, really, just at the wrong time, I think.
I'd definitely go along with that. Especially because Walcott went down injured, didn't he? And then he still allowed him to play on from there. That would have been a good time to bring on Stu.
Yeah, absolutely. And, okay, maybe I'll take my words back. I don't think bringing off Breuer for Adams was necessarily a positive change.
Well, I mean, Breuer was limping when he went off.
Ah, okay.
So I don't quite know the extent of that, but otherwise, yeah. I mean, he was running himself into the ground as well, Breuer, so you can't really argue. But yeah, I think bringing Adam Armstrong on was definitely needed a lot earlier.
Oh, yeah. Over here, you've got like a few minutes.
yeah, that wasn't enough for him, was it? But the game in itself, it didn't really take long to get started, did it, in a positive way? I mean, cries of Tino ringing around St Mary's. God, Kev, the kid is electric. He just makes things happen and he's picking up the ball and he's driving it. He's just an absolute pleasure to watch.
Yeah, I don't think you can put it any other way. He's incredibly talented, really physically strong, fast, creative, intelligent. I think he's almost a complete package. I say almost because defensively he still is lacking a bit, obviously.
Oh, he's going to. Yeah, the first goal it was probably his, let's not say his fault, because, you know, there was a lot of people that were at fault for it. But, yeah, leaving Cornet unmarked, falling asleep a little bit. But that, you know, that side of his game will come. And like you brought up then, he's intelligent. For an 18-year-old lad, he's very intelligent, especially with the ball.
Very confident.
Yeah, confidence is great. He never seems to make a mistake, does he, when he's on the ball?
No. Yeah, so only off the ball you've got to worry about. But yeah, do you see him on Match of the Day? I mean, just the sheer confidence that he has in the interviews.
Yes.
You wouldn't say, how old is he again?
He's 18, yeah.
And he can't be 18.
No, he is. And something that they mentioned on Match of the Day as well, they said, went about his goal, and they said he scored, you know, and he gets up well for the corners and stuff like that. He's a big lad. How tall would you say he is?
5'11".
That's what I would have said. 5'11", 6 foot, something like that. He's only 5'8".
No.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Blimey.
But he doesn't look like a 5'8", so he doesn't look 18.
We might have short right backs, don't we?
Yeah. 5'8". Not big, is it? Not someone that should be getting on with these headers into the in set pieces, especially against the likes of a Burnley defence. But
he did put it in the floor.
He did. He headed it down. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to head it down. Coaching 101.
I was coming. Yeah.
But yeah, the optimism didn't last long. You know, Maxwell Cornet jumping above the rest and putting Burnley ahead inside 13 minutes. Unlucky 13. Bad defending, because no one closed down the cross. That's the first thing, right? And then Cornet was alone, and Livramento, as we've mentioned, he left him, and we got punished because of it.
Yeah, I mean, Loughton was in acres of space as it was, under absolutely no pressure whatsoever, and puts a cross in. And you think, leading up to the Burnley game, the one thing you're going to be practicing is defending against aerial balls. And yeah, it doesn't look like that's sunk in, really.
Again, can't blame Ralph for it. It's individual errors that didn't do it. I mean, you said no one's around him on that cross. There was like three players around. Romeu, one of them, just not doing enough there.
Romeu, Perrault,
yeah.
Redmond. who are Summers. They're all just watching him do it.
That's kind of what I expect from Redmond.
Someone go to him, someone try and...
Make it hard, yeah.
Yeah, just put him under some pressure. That's what we're supposed to be doing, isn't it?
Yeah, but we started the game well. We started it positively, like we did against Leeds, I thought. And then that didn't deter us, though. That's the only good thing about our performance, I guess, because the chances did come for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about conceding early on. It's a little bit too early to completely collapse, after they score in the 80th minute.
It's never too early for that with Saints, is it?
Barring a sending off, then, yeah. But, no, they did hold in, and not much was really happening for most of the first half until, about 10, 15 minutes. Sort of realised that Burnley weren't too bothered about scoring another because they're Burnley.
Yeah, and Nick Pope was holding on to the ball an awful lot. And this was coming on like 26 minutes. I remember the crowd booing and jeering when they took the lead, and every free kick, every throw in, every goal kick was just, it's classic time wasting. I thought, 26 minutes in, are you fucking kidding me?
Yep, that's Burnley, 90 minutes of time wasting minimum.
It's just not cricket, is it?
Well, it's not against the rules. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, for the ref to give someone a yellow card for time wasting about 26 minutes in or whatever.
I mean, say what you want about Sean Dyche, right? He's got his critics from the way that Burnley set up and the way that they play, but he gets the job done, doesn't he? But as a Burnley fan, how would you be? How would you take to that? Because all right, you're going to survive playing that brand of football, but you are going to get, considered one of the most boring teams to watch.
I don't know about him boring. I love him. I think he's brilliant.
I love him as a person, yeah.
You need a team like that for a bit of variety, If every team in the league was like Leeds, I think it would be quite dull and, unimaginative. He's working with very limited resources, and he's done incredibly to keep them in the league so long. And, I think he's the first to admit, I do what works, and that's what works.
Sure, I get that. But weren't Greece criticised for that in 2004 when they won the Euros?
Who gives a fuck? They won the Cup.
Exactly what I always say.
I'd take that.
Exactly what I say, but people are still going to criticise it. They are.
Claude Puel managed to shithouse us to the EFL Cup way back when. I don't think anyone would have been complaining about it.
Well, I still was. I find anything to complain about, Kevin. You know me.
That's true.
Very own Victor Maldry. But, yeah, I think there were a few. Burnley had a couple of chances too. Nothing too bad. McCarthy was forced to save for Chris Wood. But we had our chances. We were creating chances, which was good to see. Walcott should have done better with his.
Yeah,
that we were all convinced that was a corner.
Straight into the defender.
Yeah. Tino and Broja were linking up nicely down the right. On one occasion, Tino surges down the right, sets up Broja. Well, sets Broja on his way. And he holds the ball up so well to create some space and some time. And he sends in a great cross to Redmond, and he's just missed. How he's missed that, I don't know.
I mean, you can't, to say it's an absolute fucking sitter is an understatement. I'd say it was more of a recumbent, you could score it lying down.
It was a talent to miss that.
Yeah, it's more difficult not to score it than to do it, but yeah. That's Redmond. I don't know, is it just luck or poor judgment? I don't really care, he should be scoring them.
Definitely should be scoring that. It just stands there and you score it.
Shane Long would have had his cock on the end of that.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
At the end of that first half, we had more misses than John Terry.
Like you mentioned, the misses. It was at this stage that we could have got the game sewn up. Should have scored, and ultimately this is why we only scored a point instead of three. This is the moment. This is the time that we should have had it. It's okay looking back at it and saying that, but
yeah, we were in control for spells of the game. Otherwise it was pretty much a dead heat. We kind of went in and out of intensively pressing and going forward. But yeah, we should have been at least two up.
Oh yeah.
By half time.
Yeah, if not three. One of those chances when Tino hit the post, that was. That was incredible. I mean, I've looked at it again and again, and it took a deflection, I think, on its way through to the post. And I'm thinking if it didn't take that deflection, then maybe Nick Pope would have had it. But it was still a brilliant effort because he kind of like sold the dummy on the cross and then cut back inside and curled it in with his left foot. So, yeah, both feet as well, Kevin. Add that to him.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, for that Livramento chance that hit the post, I mean, Broglie was right there. Could he not have done more to try and get the rebound? Oh, yeah, it's so unfortunate. I mean, if Redmond had been there, he'd have skied it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I mean, it hit the post, but it come out back so quick that, I mean, you'd have to have quite quick reactions to get it in, but yeah, it would just have been a head or a shoulder.
Pressure still on, wave after wave of it at this point, and then, you know, we force a corner. The corner comes in, the movement came from Tino, and he scores his first goal, and it was totally deserved for him and for Saints.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to Redmond. I mean, after just missing that absolute howler, delivered in a really good corner.
He did, but I mean, that was one. I mean, there was one towards the end of the game where it was just, what the fuck was that? I cannot wait for James Ward-Prowse to come back and resume set pieces because...
You think? I mean, because his set pieces haven't really been up to standard this season, have they?
Corners, maybe not, but you just need him in there for those free kicks, don't you?
Yeah, you just got to hope that, you know, one of them will be that special one that makes a difference.
And plus, he's going to be well rested now, Kevin, so we need to be optimistic about that.
Yeah, I hope that makes a difference.
Second half started well, I guess. Lots of high pressure again and forced a mistake from Burnley. That's where the second goal come from. Tarkowski giving the ball away. Diallo feeds Broglie. He takes it, and at one point he sort of like shimmies to his right, and from there, well, from where I was, it looked like he'd wasted his chance. But, you know, he hit a swing.
Oh, he thought it was going wide, isn't it?
Well, I don't think the shot was going wide. I just think that from where I was sat, I was back at the other end, see, and it looked like he was miles ahead of the play, and he sort of like took it right, and I thought, what's he done? But he still finds the time to like take the shot and then tuck it underneath or, you know, to the right of Nick Pope, and it went in. But yeah, it did from our point of view. I mean, it wasn't just me. There's a couple of people around that thought, my God, I thought he, you know, took too long on that. But looking back at it, it was sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it's either smart or fortunate or both.
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, it was all Breuer's goal, really. I mean, it's his pressure on Tarkowski that makes him misplace the pass forward. Diallo, really quick thinking to retrieve the ball and just send it straight back to Breuer.
This is Ralph Ball, isn't it? This is what the high press is supposed to do.
I just wish we'd seen a lot more of that. I think we'd had just as an intense period after the break as we did before it. I don't think we'd have been... wouldn't have been creating problems for ourselves because we kind of settled into it after that. But yeah, that goal, which is just incredible. I'm putting James Tarkowski on the floor and then, as he's going down, sending the ball underneath him.
Yeah,
I love it.
Very good. And Broglie, yes, fantastic. Two and two for him.
Two, yeah.
And you've got to say, Adam Armstrong and Che Adams have got to take a seat now.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe him and Armstrong, maybe that could be an option. You should try that out. I don't think we've seen that yet, have we?
Different players as well. Yeah, that could work.
Yeah, Redmond's... I don't know. Like, he wasn't completely awful, but
no, not by any stretch. But he's inconsistent, and that's what we don't need right now. But are you starting to fall in love with a loanee, Kev?
It's dangerous, isn't it?
Mm.
Do you think we've got any chances of keeping him?
Absolutely none. This is it, isn't it? If he doesn't do well, then we could sign him. But if he starts doing well and starts putting the ball in the back of the net, then we've got no chance because Tuchel's going to have him back. Although, does he actually need him? I mean, they scored seven yesterday without Lukaku, so I don't think they really need any strikers.
Yeah, I don't. I think Armando's got to be looking at his chances of getting into the squad and playing first team football at Chelsea. I still think it's, you know, minimal.
I agree with you, but the way that he's playing, his price is going to be astronomical, surely. Tuchel's going to be like, yeah, we're okay to let him go, but you ain't going for cheap. If you want the money, you're going to have to fork out for him.
50 million or something.
They hold everything here, don't they? And it's only going to help Chelsea if he does well or bad. So it, you know, no chance of keeping him, in my opinion.
We could renew the deal.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, 2-1 up, everything looking positive, and then, you know, out of nowhere, Burnley grabbed the leveller, Maxwell Cornet again, very good strike, by the way, but I say it, typical Burnley, long ball, one over the top, and that's it, you know, 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart from Cornet to spot McCarthy off his line, and Bednarik, he should have done a lot more there. He wasn't particularly strong on him to prevent him getting that shot off, which, you know, I don't think it would have been that difficult just to get in his way. But yeah, fuck me, what a shot.
And it was unexpected. It wasn't as if they deserved that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Could you put it down to defensive lapse or just a moment of brilliance from the Cornetto? I don't know.
I don't think it's unfair to say both. And I don't want to say anything bad on Cornet, because he done well. You know, it's 3 goals for him in what, 3 games? He looks like a good time. And yeah, to be fair to Tim, he brought him up last week and said, watch out for him. We didn't.
Yeah, you've got to worry for, well, you were kind of worried for Burnley at the beginning of the season because they haven't made many signings or any signings at all. But they managed to get him in. He looks like a good acquisition. But yeah, it's just, you know, a few little moments like that where Burnley can take advantage, and you know, I think they'll be fine in the end, but it's unfortunate. And they looked sort of rejuvenated after that goal, that they, you know, they could take 3 points and get their first win of the season, because that, you know, for a few more minutes after that, before they decided to sit back again, yeah, I was quite worried for us.
I agree with you, and I think you can say that Burnley sit back, you know, they were time wasting when they were 1-0 up, but at 2-2 they did think, yeah, let's go for the win, which is good to see from a Burnley point of view. Dwight McNeil had one, didn't he, over the bar? That was closer than it looked. Ashley Westwood had one going wide. Yeah, it was all scary moments, so it could have been a lot worse, I suppose. But Ralph did make some changes. Walcott comes off eventually for Stuart Armstrong, which, I mean, I guess we expected at some point. Breuer limping off for Adams. This moment was frustrating because there just wasn't enough desire from the first half that we showed. And it was just more frustrating in the build-up play, because it was, the urgency seemed to drop, and there was lots of sideways and backwards passing. But then again, I guess you could say it's typical Burnley, because they were well organised, and, you know, this is their strength, isn't it? It's nothing new, and they're just going to hold you off.
Yeah. It was, you know, kind of Roper-like, really, wasn't it? I mean, you'd think that, I mean, for about half an hour, nothing really happened at all, to be honest. Got the odd couple of chances, but, you know, we could have done
that. I went for a piss.
Period of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, could have had shit, man.
I felt like leaving the stadium at that point, it was like everybody was, I would say I looked the most unhappy and the most frustrated. I was just really like, oh, you know, it's another one. It's another 2 points dropped. I hate it when they draw a game like that, because when they get whipped by people like Chelsea, you've got to take it on the chin, because they're better than us. But Burnley aren't better than us. They didn't play better than us. Saints deserve to win this game. And they didn't, and that's what makes it worse.
I think they do.
I think they deserve to win the game. Okay, Burnley had some chances, but we had the better chances. We controlled the play.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't just rely just on that. If you haven't scored the goals, you've got to keep it up until you do get the winner. And, you know, it would have taken just a really intense 5 or 10 minutes at the end. I think we could have edged it over. We just didn't have enough.
Yeah, blame it on late subs and stuff like that. I don't know. And actually, I want to talk about Ralph just quickly, Kev, because, you know, we mentioned before a questionable inclusion of Walcott, made those subs too late, which you brought up. Walcott went down injured and proceeded to play on with him. Adam Armstrong only had 9 minutes. But this draw was in no way his fault, because we should have had enough to win this game. The first half alone, if we had taken those chances, and it's the more clinical side of our game that we need to work on, I think. And, you know, you take those chances at half time, you go in at 3-1, and it's going to be a completely different game in the second half, I'm sure of it. So, you know, Ralph doesn't have to take any of the blame here. I don't think those subs are because of the point.
No, but I still think, you know, had he made them a little bit earlier, we might have had a bit more energy to make the difference. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a particularly bad result, if I'm totally honest. It's disappointing, of course. you want to beat teams like Burnley. But, you know, when they've scored two goals more or less against the run of play, and we've managed to come back into it both times, I think that's definitely positives to take from it.
Yeah, sure. It's one of those ones that you look back at and think, at a point, it wasn't that bad. But and there again, you know, if you go down or you get close to going down, you just think that these are the sort of games that you need to be winning. I mean, I mention it quite a lot.
Sure.
And, I guess that's just where my frustration lies. It's just that I felt that we could have won this game and we deserved to win the game, in my opinion. So 61% possession to their 39. And 16 shots to their 9, 4 on target. But they had 5 on target, though, so.
Mm.
6 corners to their 2. They had 3 yellow cards. They're playing pretty dirty towards the end. So, yeah, every single stat is in our favour there, particularly that possession one. But that's what I said before, like how...
That's what you expect.
Yes, yeah. This is what I said, like, towards the end of the game. It was all those sideways passes and backwards passes because they just couldn't find a way to get round the back.
Yeah, I mean, you have to hear the crowd getting frustrated every time they kind of concertina the ball backwards and forwards. Everyone's like, for fuck's sake.
You know, but it's not as easy as that, is it? If there's nothing there, you have to switch the play.
Yeah, but you could do it a lot faster than the way that they were doing, you know, because they gave so much time to Burnley to reorganise their defence and, you know, they're no mugs.
And exactly. This is where Diallo, for me, is frustrating as well, because he wants too much time on the ball still. You can't have that. You need to be more... aggressive. There were moments when we were attacking down that left-hand side when Perreau was there as well, and Perreau was going out wide and Diallo had the ball. He could have released him, and instead, because you could see Perreau just about to start a run, and instead he stopped, he thought about it, and then he turned back, and by the time Perreau stopped his run, because he was going to be offside, Burnley defence were just in line then, and back to it. So it's those moments that we need to pick up on, that urgency. But that urgency was there against Leeds. We were making all those right decisions. It was even there in patches in the first half. But it's just not enough.
Yeah. I mean, we were kind of playing Burnley at their own game. We had some really good long balls forward from Diallo and Romain.
I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were looking good. So, you know, a bit more progressive than when you've got Prowse and Romain at the same time.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I don't think we're entirely lost without Ward Prowse, but I think it would be good to have him back.
Oh, I mean, we picked up 4 points without him, so...
Oh, yeah. Fuck it. Give him another red card.
Let's not go that far. Man of the match, Kev?
I think it's an easy one for me. It's difficult because we've kind of given Armando Breuer the plaudits for this episode, like making the title man. But he's on great form, incredible creative talent, and yeah, thank you. It would be a miracle if we held on to him. But again, the man who was getting me out of my seat more than anybody else was Tino Livramento. I mean, a black mark against him for being really poor defensively, for letting Cornet get that first header in. But aside from that, I think he was just flawless and relentless.
Yeah, I mean, have you got questions over his defensive play?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, our fullbacks now, I don't think any of them are particularly solid defensively. I mean, Walker Peters, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to have to disagree because I think... he's my man of the match as well, but defensively, I think he defends well. If it's like pound for pound, if it's like man on man and he's going in for a tackle, he's good. Very good, in fact. Well, I think, he's good. But positionally, yeah, that's going to have to improve. But I think overall, if you were to say he's a bad defender, I don't think that's quite fair.
I think it's just his defensive game is lacking.
Yeah, there are some parts of it. But again, you know, the bits that are lacking are going to come with age and experience, surely.
Hope so.
Yeah. But yeah, again, Tino, man of the match for me. I just think everything that Southampton have got good is because of him. And it's not just this game. It's all season. And he just seems different class at the moment. And I'm going to say it again. He's only 18. He's a kid. He's such a clever player for someone so young, and his decision making seemed good, especially when he's on the ball. And large portions, I think he does defend well. He puts in some decent tackles. He loves to drive the play. He loves to get forward. And now he's added a goal to his impressive start. And also, he hit the post as well with his left foot.
That was so unfortunate.
Yeah, like you said, he looks very, very near the full package. And I think he's, we all know he's going to go on to bigger and better things, don't we? I mean, but for now, let's just enjoy him each and every time he puts on the shirt. And, you know, I know we're going to look back at him in years to come and just think, right, do you remember when we had Tino when he was just coming into the team? I'm sure we're going to look back at him the way that we look at Gareth Bale.
Yes, yeah, I want to draw the same comparison.
He's not Welsh, so... Yeah, so 16th in the table, another big game against Watford next Saturday. But before that, the little matter of our Carabao Cup fourth round tie against Chelsea.
It's a piss.
Dean Hammond here. Thank you for tuning in to In That Number.
Okay, we are back. And this time we are back with Tim. Tim, how are you?
Doing pretty well. Acquired some more bruises this week too from my rec league game for whatever reason. I'm just completely black and blue from my waist down.
Bruise magnet, that's good. But you got a clean sheet again, yeah?
Yep, 1-0 win. We win the next two, we win our league for the first time, and the guy who is our team captain, who's been a part of it for the last 14 or 15 years, our team has never won, so apparently we got to just win the next two, and that's it.
And it's all because of you.
No, I would like to think so, but...
You didn't give a penalty away this week, then?
No, I didn't have to do nearly as much work this week as I did last week.
Thoughts on yesterday, Tim? 2-2 Burnley.
So, missed the second half, obviously, from the game that I was playing, but in the process, caught the first half, was able to watch everything through.
That's the best part.
Yeah. So... overall, I expected going into it, I think I had zero changes. They had Walcott replaced for Gineppo. So I think when we were talking about Perot and DJ having that connection, with DJ being out, this was Perot's worst game. And it's not to say that he had an absolute terrible game, but I felt like he was non-existent. There really wasn't a whole lot going on. Now, whether that's him being... you know, taken out by McNeil or in Lowton on the right side, I couldn't tell you, but I think there is that misconnection there. Now, Moy did a decent job on the left, and they rotated a decent amount, but he was the primary person on the left side, where Walcott was completely non-existent. He's a squad player to me at this point, and in terms of opportunities for individuals to be successful and bring us forward, it's not him. I'd even take Gineppo over him just because he has the flair and the connection between Perot on the left side and the ability to really run at a player, whereas Walcott, I don't know what he provides outside of a good leadership and being a good team player, which is fine to have, but whether or not they deserve restarting, that's it. So overall, though, the Redmond-Brogia combination, the 1-2, where the second striker Redmond looked really good for Brogia being up top. Salisu, you know, doing his Salisu things, and that's really all that I could gather from the first half. I caught the second half highlights though, and it seemed like Brogia was able to take the attack and did really well, and then Cornet just absolutely destroyed us with a fantastic shot from 35 yards out.
Yeah, that was it. Okay, so next week then, guys, we play two. We head to Chelsea, Stamford Bridge again in the fourth round Carabao Cup. That's Tuesday, the 26th of October, 7:45 kickoff. Tim, we've already had our hearts broken at Stamford Bridge, not that long ago, actually, and Prowsey's still suffering the effects of that game. 3-1 losers, but this is a different game entirely. Don't quite know how both teams are going to approach this one. So please, Tim, tell us.
All right. So Carabao Cup, without talking about Chelsea during the league itself, they had to go to penalty kicks to beat Villa at home, 1-1, went 4-3 in penalty kicks, Kepa making the save to allow them to go to where they're at today. So it's going to be tricky because they've got a few different injuries right now. Timo Werner, Pulisic's out, Lukaku. So you've got two of your main strikers and a Pulisic as a winger alongside Conte, who had muscle tightness, so didn't feature in the lineup against Norwich. So with them having just played against Norwich at 7-0, you don't know what to expect because they have such a significant amount of depth and they have a lot of fluidity with their formation. Thomas Tuchel is fantastic and being able to kind of match up and drill in discipline, because I think it's been absolutely fantastic for Tuchel and for Chelsea to kind of as a group. So, you know, who they started against Norwich is Mendy, Chalobah, Silva, Rudiger, then Reece James, Jorginho, Kovacic, Chilwell, then Mount,
As long as Mount was playing, I think we'd be all right. Yeah.
So Mount, Hudson-Odoi, and Havertz. So looking at it, and Hudson-Odoi was a lot free-flowing and going forward, which was great because he had James and behind him, who was able to pull up and make those runs, but also kind of had to sit back. I think it allowed Hudson-Odoi to be successful for him and to be what he wants to be, as more of an attacking role, and kind of throw that in there alongside Mount, who had, he had a hat trick there. Then again, it's Norwich, so you can compliment everybody and tell Havertz is playing as a false nine and sitting up there and doing everything, but it's Norwich, so who knows what's going to happen. And I feel like they're going to do a lot of rotations. So they set up in a 3-4-2-1, but then kind of have like a fluid, where based on who they're playing with and who they have on their team and then who they're playing against. So it's going to be much more of an attacking presence. So to me, I think you're going to see a lot of rotation and you're going to see a lot more of that midfield who's going to be going forward. So you're going to look at, I think Alonso is going to come in as a rotation for Chilwell. Chilwell is 3-for-3 in his last three starts, in the Premier League, and has taken
one against us, didn't he?
Yeah, they bounce back between Alonso and Chilwell right now. Christensen is going to come in. He didn't play, so based on the rotation itself. And then I think Malang Sarr is going to come in. He did start but he started the previous game. And then Aspilicueta. And then I think you're going to have actually even more of like a 6-8-10 in your fourth, and it's going to appear more like a 4-3-3, but it's going to have this weird fluidity, with Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Barkley, and Conte will come back. I think Conte will actually be the 6, Loftus-Cheek will be the 8, and then Barkley be the 10. And then they'll play completely, forward with Ziyech, Hudson-Odoi, and Kai. I do think I think they're gonna rotate heavily. So this looks at 9 new starters. Now, will that be as much as that they'll have? Probably not, but I think there'll be a definitely significant rotation. So I think from the one academy player you'll look to see who will play either in start or as a sub is Lewis Baker. Their academy is obviously fantastic. We are well aware of that.
You're feeling the effects of that, yeah.
Yeah. Look for Lewis Baker to get in the lineup somewhere as an opportunity. So yeah, how are we going to line up? Ooh, geez, that's crazy to think about. I think you'll have Forster in goal, and I think they'll rotate out Tino. I think just that he's 18, 19, and as much as he was successful, I don't think he can play 2 times a week. So I think he'll put Walker Peters in. I think Lianco will play, and then Lianco, Salisu, Perot. I've got Diallo Romeo listed here, but ideally it'd be good also to have another rotation. So are you going to see Will Smallbone come in? Are you going to see Stuart Armstrong slot in that role?
Just a thing on Smallbone. I think he is going to be playing for the Bees tomorrow night, so I doubt he'll be playing on Tuesday night.
Okay. So then you'll probably see Diallo start, just because then you'll have Ward-Prowse will come straight back into the lineup, and on Saturday against Watford.
Sure.
So then Diallo will play, burn himself out, and go from there. I do think Gineppo will come back because he'll look for the link up between Perot and Gineppo, and that'll actually be a really good 1-2 on that side, hopefully being able to expose the right side of Aspilicueta.
Stuart Armstrong to start, yeah?
I think Stuart Armstrong will start. And then I think Nathan Tella and Adam Armstrong will start. I think they're going to go for a little bit of a squirrely guys, the smaller guys, try to run it past them. Christensen's big, but
I don't think Broya is able to start anyway, is he? So
Broya cannot play. So I knew that Broya was going to start. And I think Broya will, spoiler alert, I think he'll start against Watford. He'll come back in against Watford. But
yeah, see, this is it, Kev. I think that we've got a good opportunity here to be playing some of our first team regulars that should be playing now, like the likes of Adam Armstrong, Stuart Armstrong, and Nathan Teller. All those players that aren't considered to be bench players. Shea Adams, they are going to be they're going to be having a big part in this game.
I second that. Yeah, or third it.
Okay. Yeah. I do think though Adams is not going to start. Now I could totally be corrected because this one's a crapshoot. I don't think I just think that this will be Tella's opportunity. I think he'll think of it as a cup game, and he'll go in with the mindset that Tella is going to get some solid minutes.
So I'm quite, Kev, do you want to win this one? Are you up for this? Or are you just not bothered?
Of course I want to win it. Well, so not me. The players on the pitch need to win it. of course I want Saints to win it, but it's not looking particularly likely, but it depends how seriously Chelsea are going to take it.
Definitely.
You've got the fear that they are going to take it quite seriously.
Well, hopefully not. But predictions then. I'll let you go first, Kev.
Oh, thanks.
It's all right.
These ones go straight to penalties, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Well, that's what I'm going to predict then. 1-1.
1-1. Okay. Good stuff. Tim?
I think we'll get one on them, but it'll be 3-1 Chelsea.
Same as it was in the league. Kev, I know it doesn't really matter if they're going to win, but do you think Saints are going to win on penalties? Do you think Forster's going to come up big again?
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it if we did.
Right, Kevin Keegan, channeling your Kevin Keegan.
Yeah. I'd love it if we beat them in the cup. Love it. I don't know. I think we do well against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. I just hope that, and we do well in the cups as well. I just hope that those come together and we get something out of it, because it's not going to be easy.
No, it's not going to be easy. And for that, I'm going to go for a 2-0 Chelsea win. I think they take us fairly comfortably. I don't know Alex's prediction just yet. He still hasn't sent it to me. So, but the wives, Gemma is going for 3-0 Chelsea.
It's going to be 0-0 now, isn't it?
Yeah, she said that also.
Warned you before.
Yeah, she's going 3-0 to Chelsea. What about Marina?
Marina says 3-1 to Chelsea.
Ah, same as Tim. And what about Abby, Tim?
2-0.
2-0 Chelsea. Sorry, I said 0. 2-0. Wow, sounding American now. I haven't heard Caitlin's, so we'll have to move on. And that's not it. We do play Watford away next Sunday, Saturday the 30th of October. Nickname?
Hornets.
Yeah, Hornets or the Orms, as the fans like to call themselves. Famous fans, come on, you must know.
Elton John.
Yes, Tim got in there. Sir Elton John, I'll have you know. Have you got any more?
His husband? David Furnish?
I don't know. I can't confirm that, I'm afraid. Maybe. I suppose he'd have to be, wouldn't he?
Isn't Anthony Joshua?
Yeah, are you cheating by any chance?
No.
Yes, Anthony Joshua is.
No, I remember when they did that for, I don't know why I remember when the boxers did that. No, that's crazy.
You are correct. Yeah. I've also got Jerry Halliwell or Jerry Horner, whatever she likes.
I don't know who that is.
Is that because of the Spice Girl sounds a little bit like Hornet?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And, you could have said Spice Girl? Okay.
Yeah, Jerry. The Ginger Spice. Ginger Spice.
Okay. I wouldn't have known that.
Oh, okay. BBC Radio 1 DJ Chris Stark, who's actually been recruiting Hollywood stars. He tried to recruit Mila Kunis and Jennifer Aniston as Watford fans. Apparently he bought them shirts and put their name and number on the back, and they've said to him that they will wear them. I have not seen them wear it, so I can't say that they are Watford fans, but there you go. Right, back to the serious stuff. Tim, Watford got dicked at home 5-0, and keeping with the Liverpool theme, they went to Goodison Park and dicked them 5-2. Ranieri at the helm now. Sisco relieved of his duties on the 4th of this month. It's so hard keeping up with their managerial changes. But where do we stand with Watford? What sort of Watford side are we going to be playing?
Your guess is as good as mine, honestly, because you're going into the third game with Claudio Ranieri at the helm. Now, Ranieri has always been known for kind of that 4-4-2 formation, and he's always been heavy in organization, and then over time he'll tinker with things. So he'll look for kind of a standard flow and kind of lock things in, which could be to his benefit or then could be to his detriment, because he 5-0 lost to Liverpool, 5-2 away win, and Joshua King just says screw you Everton, which
yeah, that was
I
harsh.
Think that was well, yeah, I honestly think he did. He went out there and said, I'm going to, it's one of those games where you're like, well, I'm going to go and try to be the best I can and go out there and do, and that was probably his best game I've seen for him while that I've actually watched live or seen anything part of in a long time. So Richard Jolly tweets states right now that the last 5 away wins for Watford have been with 5 different managers, which is crazy to think about. But then again, when you think about it, it's Watford and they change their managers just as much as I change underwear, which is pretty much every day.
Kev, who are those 5 managers?
Siscon.
Yeah.
We Captain Ranieri.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Nigel Pearson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
The guy who was there twice.
Kiko Sanchez Flores.
Yes, that's him.
And Javi Gracia.
Javi Gracia, that's him.
Yeah. There we go. Sorry, carry on, Tim.
You just don't know what to go in to expect 3 games in. They don't have a Carabao Cup game, so they don't have that. They've got a full week to be able to prepare. My best guess is from, and this is why it's a guess, is I think he'll basically see that we've haven't been as successful when it comes to playing teams that are that sit back a little bit. So I think it will allow us to, and we'll actually have the majority of the possession. It's more around 55-60%. He'll actually sit back and then look to poach us on the counter, use that success and use the speed with a few of their players. So with Ismail Yassar and then Josh King being able to poach and make it work there. So that's what I think will happen. And ultimately, I can't really predict or really look at and say their lineup is how it's going to be, except for maybe a 4-4-2. But I want to highlight a couple of points. Ben Foster versus Daniel Bachmann in goal. It's been kind of a soap opera affair right now, because Ben Foster seems to care more about his vlog than he does about his game. But then again, the way he's been stuck in the lineup and doing really well. This past game against Everton, I don't think Daniel Bachmann will come back in. Bachmann wasn't very happy and was vocal and was talking to the media about it. So there's that little soap opera there, but I think Foster will stay. Moussa Sissoko came over from Tottenham. He's been pretty much their rock steady, in their back line, as their defensive midfield. So he'll look to be, and he'll be captain for the team as well. They got a few different really good attacking options: Ismail Yassar, Yao Pedro, and Emmanuel. Don't expect all of them to start, just because it's hard fitting them in with that 4-4-2, the rigidity. You'll look for Sar to absolutely start, and then maybe Emmanuel or Yao Pedro, but not all 3 of them. And then Josh King is a traditional 9, matches up well with the formation of that Ranieri wants, and has started the last 2 games for Ranieri. That's the best I can say for that.
Well, I'm just looking at their lineup against Liverpool and their lineup against Everton, and I'm just curious to see what kind of changes he made in between the two. It looks like they made 3 changes, considering they got battered. Only 3 changes. They're not going to be changing anymore. Let's face it, you're going to stick with that team if they can, and they've got them down here as a 4-1-4-1 with Hernandez and Sarr coming off the wings to support King. And that Kev, how do you pronounce that guy who scored for them yesterday? That Kuzka, is it?
Kuzka.
There we go. I knew you'd get it. Is he Croat?
He is Slovak.
Slovak. Okay. Yeah. So with those 3 changes from Liverpool to Everton, I would have expected a lot more from that, but I'm not expecting any more now. Would I be fair in thinking that?
Absolutely. I don't think they're gonna. They might throw one in there that we may not expect, like Ozan Tufan going out for Cleverly, maybe, but
hopefully.
Yeah. I think Cathcart will start. I think Adam Messina is going to start. I don't really know about Troost Ekong or Ngakia, the right back for them. I don't know them all that well.
With the rested players against them, how are we going to set up against Watford?
I think if you look today to see how it's going to be fairly similar to how we will play in a week. So I think you'll look at McCarthy, Tino, Benarek, Salisu. I think KWP will come in because they're going to rotate out Perot and DJ. So it'll be Ward-Prowse, Romeu, Moy, Stuart Armstrong, Redmond, and Broya.
Right, we'll go predictions then. I'll go first this time. This is a tough one because, like, we don't really know what kind of Watford are going to turn up, do we? Hopefully it's the one that lost 5-0 at home to Liverpool and not the one that went to Goodison and scored five, because that's going to be bad. Imagine if we let in five goals against Watford. That's tragic, right? Sorry, Everton fans. So, I don't know how this is going to go at all. It was really tough for me. But do you know what? I'm feeling really, really positive because there have been some good... I mean, the Leeds game was incredible. I thought we played really well. And the Watford game, there were patches where... the Burnley game, there were patches where we played well. And I think it's all going to come together quite nicely at Vicarage Road, and I'm going to go for a 2-1 away win.
Sweet.
Yeah. And what about you, Kevin?
I don't know. I'm in two minds again. You say, like, we all wrote Watford off and maybe even looked at Claudio Ranieri as an uninspiring managerial choice. But it was a great result against Everton. So maybe, they're going to be on a roll after that. I don't know. I'm just going to sit on the fence again and say another 1-1 draw.
Okay. At the moment, I don't think that will be a bad result, considering they backed five. I don't think so. Tim, how about you?
0-0.
Oh, God. Is it going to be one of those ones like the festive period last year, like Fulham and West Ham? They just dross and just...
Well, that was a Claudio Ranieri side as well, wasn't it?
There we go. Yeah.
I think there'll be more focus on their end to solidify defense than it will be for they'll be poor going forward.
They're going to be full of confidence going into this game off of the back of that, and I just don't think it's going to be a 0-0. I just hope that we have a good performance and we turn up. But yeah, Gemma, Kevin is going for...
Wait for it.
0-0. And Marina?
Marina's also going for a draw. She's siding with me on a 1-1 draw.
Okay. Abby?
To be fair, I'm siding with her. She was the first to declare. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, she has beaten you this season. No, she's not.
She's not.
Abby? Abby is going...
2-1 Saints.
Right, that is it. Next week, Tim, we have the Aston Villa preview that you're going to be attending. So that'll be good.
We'll have a special one for that. We'll have a nice little breakdown, especially with the return of Danny Ings.
So, who, by the way, I was thinking yesterday, is going to be injured for that game. You can see it, can't you? He's going to get injured next week.
You think so?
I think he will. I don't think he's going to be able to be jeered. I think that would be it. I think he'll injure himself. He'll be out for 2 months. And we won't be able to throw anything at him. Well, but when I say throw anything, I mean throw abuse, not anything physical.
Tackles.
Yeah.
Fishing tackles. Okay.
But yeah, anyway, Tim, yeah, great work today. And see you next week.
Thank you so much. All right, talk to you guys soon.
Cheers, Tim.
Okay, welcome back to Extra Time. We start with the predictions. Burnley, I went 2-0. Alex also went 2-0. And Tim and you, Kevin, went for draws. Not the correct draw, but still, you picked up points. So that leaves the scores. Alex struggling at the bottom on 4. Tim on 8. Me on 11. And you in the lead on 15. Good stuff, Kevin. Well done.
All right. Okay.
Wife Wars, Kevin. Last week, you were not here, were you? So I had to take over the Wife Wars duties. And the predictions going into this one then. Gemma went for her 0-0. Marina went for a 2-0 Saints win. Abby went for a 2-1 Saints win, as did Caitlin. So the only person to score points was Gemma, who picked up a draw. And the points after the Burnley game are Caitlin and Abby remain on 8. Marina is on 13 in the lead. But Gemma is closing the gap, and she is now on 10. So there's a 3-point gap between Gemma and Marina.
Yeah. Did Marina get like the correct score last time?
I think she did. Okay. So Super 6 then. We've had two rounds since last Sunday. Round 15 was won by Tom Hennigan with 14 points. Round 16 was won by Peter Roberts with 16 points. I scored a respectable 14, actually, so I'm quite pleased with that. Which was good enough for joint second. Overall, Colin Carter still has a healthy lead on 155 points. He's running away with it this year. It's not even close now. Fantasy football, Kev.
Yeah, well, within the Podders League, it's all heating up. Freddie of the Oakley Inside, Ollie of the Saints Prime, and Matt Markstone of Southampton Delivery, all within a point of each other at the last update, at the top of the league. My team, I don't know, every time I've got a team that I'm kind of happy with, something always goes fucking wrong with it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, I had Kovacic who, he picked up a couple of assists yesterday.
Yeah.
Captain Vardy, so I'm hoping that he'll smack in one or two against Brentford if that happens.
Well, I've captained Tony, so I'm hoping he smacks something against Leicester.
Tony! I've got Tony too, so yeah, it's win-win for me. Yeah, Martinez saved a penalty and he was on the bench. That's well done. You paid your bench boost,
didn't you? I did, yeah.
Why?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, Kevin, I could not decide whether to go for... Because I've got a lot of Man United players in my team, it could be a complete disaster for Man United, but it could also be a complete success. So I thought, do I put in Soyuncu of Leicester or do I put in Aaron Cresswell of West Ham and take out the Man United players? And I thought, I just couldn't decide. I couldn't decide at all. So I thought, well, I'm just going to go for a bench boost here and just let everybody play.
I wish I'd got that. I haven't got 10 points
now. It's not working out very well for me.
No.
I mean, my bench has only scored me 5 points so far. So, but having said that, I mean, I've still got Soyuncu to score and I've got Cresswell to score because they are all playing at the moment. And obviously, I've still got Fernandez, Salah, Wan-Bissaka and Maguire still to play the Savo. And also Tony's still playing, so hopefully he can do something.
Yeah. Why was Shane Duffy not playing against City?
I don't know.
It's a weird one. I thought he was like
if he had been, he would have let in four.
That is true. Stewart would have been 1 point.
Yeah. Mind you, I got Sanchez in goal. So that wasn't really a good choice of mine, but he let in four. So
he did save 8 shots, though.
Yeah, he scored me 4 points for a goalkeeper that let in 4 goals. I really thought it was going to be worse, but, you know.
That's more than Ben Foster, who let in 2.
Yeah, but he also picked me up a point because he's on the bench.
Wonderful. There's some top management tips here. Yeah, looking at the big league... I had a few jump up to the top recently, isn't in my absence. And the top three looks like this. Why me? Why not? David Phillips. Sunderland. Yeah, another.
Yeah, he was top. He was top last week.
Sadam Milosevic.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting choice of name, but I don't think that's his real name.
No.
yeah, and the Aston Villa team. Yeah. There.
Excellent. Russian phrase this week, Kevin. I don't know if you heard, but Tim gave us a southern phrase last week.
Yeah, I did hear you all talk about that.
I like it.
Does it bless your heart?
It does, yeah. And yeah, so Russian phrase this week. What are you going to go with?
Okay. I think one of the standout moments of the game was Redmond. Redmond missed a sitter.
He did.
On не забил верный гол.
On не забил Верни гол.
Верни,
верни.
Yeah, that means he missed a sitter.
Missed a sure goal. Yeah. Do you know what the Russian phrase is for our Mandalorian?
Our Mandalorian. It makes him sound like an Armenian.
Okay, a reminder that for you to buy us a coffee or a pint.
Please, we need an artist thing.
Yeah. Certainly do, yeah. If you appreciate it and you feel like you'd like to buy us a pint, anything, you know, any small amount would be so well appreciated. Yeah, then please head over to buymeacoffee.com/in-that-number. Kevin, you say something funny.
Tits.
Next week, we shall discuss both Chelsea and Watford, and we'll preview that Aston Villa game as we head into November, the cold months. So, yes, until then... Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.